they gonna get you by the goosebumps, goosebumps. Gotta get you by the goosebumps, gotcha. They gonna get you by the goosebumps, goosebumps. Gotta get you by the goosebumps.
Hello and welcome to Drunken Book Club, an official, unofficial Goosebumps podcast. I'm your takes a pretty picture, Christopher the Ruple, joined with...
I'm Knuff Sam.
Oh, I think you're more than Knuff for me.
Aw. Are you saying I'm too much for you?
Wait, am I?
I don't know.
Listeners at home, leave a comment down below. Is Sam Knuff for me? Or am I Knuff for her? Knickets.
What?
I don't know. I just wanted to say Knickets. we read our first official Goosebumps book so far. Say Cheese and Die, Goosebumps number 4. We're continuing forward on the book list, even though the next one we're going to read is not the next one after this. But, my gosh, Say Cheese and Die. I was very happy that we finally got to this one. I'm not looking forward to its sequel book, but this one, pretty darn good if you ask me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I had a blast reading this one. I don't know about you.
I enjoyed it. It's one of those, like, more my ADHD was just...
Oh, yeah, you've been having... I mean, we're both not... I mean, when I was reading it, I was in a good mental space because I think I had read it before some things a lot of things happened, so I was in a good space, but I think we're currently not in the best headspaces.
Yeah, stuff has happened and life has been life-ing.
Life can suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, hey, Sam, what'd you pregame on? We haven't really pregamed on much.
So, I'm just doing my usual of Dr. Pepper with the last of our Captain Morgan Cherry Vanilla.
Rest in peace.
I mean, we can buy more.
With what money?
At some point.
I can't financially support myself or you. I can't quit you. We're okay.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Literally. Yeah, we can just wait till the next paycheck, like.
Trust me, we can wait longer than that.
Oh, no. I'm just saying theoretically, like.
Theoretically, yes.
We're not.
And I made two drinks for this episode. One is a modified tarantula that I called the Spidey, inspired by the villain of this book. What's up?
Is that where I got the fucking spiders?
Spiders. For what? What are you talking about?
Fucking Dr. Insano.
No, I don't think that's... That was from, what's it called? Lost in Space.
Okay.
Okay, Sam is referencing the TV episode because Spidey in the TV episode looks kind of like Dr. Insano, a Spoonie character, which you know who that is? Hey, good for you. We're not going to explain who Spoonie is.
If you know, congratulations, you're old.
Hey, congratulations. You went through the internet. Good for you. but no, that wasn't even Dr. Insano. That was fucking, what's called? What's it called? A Nostalgia Critic character. Was
this? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's been a minute since I've seen either of those, so.
I'm very in tuned with my Nostalgia Critic and Channel Awesome lore here. number one fan. No. Heck no. I enjoyed them anymore. In the past. But, no, I made the modified tarantula called the Spidey, which technically I would have made it this way, but we didn't have any rum chata. I know I said I was going to release these recipes on our Patreon, but whatever. It's 3/4 shots amaretto, 3/4 ounce amaretto, 3/4 ounce whiskey, and 3/4 ounce rum chata. The original recipe calls for Irish cream instead of rum chata. Mix them all together in a small glass with some ice cubes. You got yourself a nice little glass of alcohol. And I'm currently nursing a dairy freeze that's not quite frozen. What it is a glass of Tang mixed with vanilla vodka to make a creamsicle that Sam has made in the past.
Yes, and I do like this.
Yep, works better with, what's it called?
Orange juice.
Orange soda. No, I think it works better with orange soda, because this is only Tang is orange juice. It's just dehydrated.
I like not dehydrated.
It's okay when you make it properly. It tastes better than the packets.
Okay, because
when you had it, they probably watered that shit down so they can make more for their buck.
Or they gave us the packets in the like the Capri Sun ass ones, which
which were lame.
Yeah, I was gonna say those sucked.
Okay, and those are the drinks we pre-gamed on. Been a while since we talked about that. I was about to say no fault of our own. We just haven't been drinking as much, I guess.
Yeah.
Whee! And Sam, okay, so I read this book before in the past. So, but you haven't. What were your first impressions? What did you think Say Cheese and Die was going
to
be about?
I might have seen the TV show before. Like, yeah. You might have shown that to me. And I'm pretty sure, I was at least aware of the premise of basically a camera that foretells horrible things happening to people.
Yeah. It's a pretty basic one. I feel like it's one of those ones that, like, everybody knows about it. There's literally a Twilight Zone and an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode based around the same premise. You looking at the cover there, Sam?
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute.
That is a girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a fan theory out there that says that Terry is transitioning, that they are a male, they're a, what's it called, a trans male, who's still, you know, kind of feminine right now because they haven't finished their treatments.
Okay.
Yes.
That's still just in the early stages of maybe just some kind
because of social. Because in the next book cover, Terry appears more masculine.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Well, I like to think that that's truly what it was, but honestly, no. Jacobus didn't actually communicate with R.L. Stine with these at all. He did not know that Terry was in this book. He just assumed that it was just, oh, there's clearly going to be a sister with Greg, you know?
Which is usually a safe bet.
So. Yeah, usually a safe bet.
But I do like the idea that he's just such an ally, it just doesn't come up if it's, no, this is my brother.
Yeah. Hey, we like to make headcanons here, because, like, if you listen to our Goosebumps retrospect, I like to think that Terry is a trans male. Trans man, thank you. I am tired, I am drunk, I'm really feeling the effects of alcohol right now. So if I get those incorrect, I apologize to the trans community.
But yeah.
I have many things to apologize to the trans community. Like the time I said, hey, is that a wiener in your pants? Are you happy to see me?
They were trying to smuggle hot dogs packing. They're trying to smuggle hot dogs out of Costco is actually what they're trying to do.
No, they weren't. They were just packing. Get it? Because they got a Packer.
Gotcha.
They're a Packers fan.
That's what they should really be ashamed of.
Yeah. But being a Packer, Packers are cool. I like the Packers.
I just wanted to make the joke, okay?
No, it doesn't work. Packers are actually a legit cool team. You taught me that.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, let's get into the notes here. Let me, as always, talk about, oh, this fucking cover. You know what's the one thing I'm really excited about with us being an official, unofficial Goosebumps podcast is I get to talk about some bomb-ass covers. Just talk about this. This is fine art right here. We have a skeletal family having a barbecue picnic. Too bad Dad is using charcoal instead of clean burning propane.
Okay, hey.
Shame on you. Actually, I like mesquite, so. I like propane and I like mesquite. I'm not a big fan of charcoal, in all honesty.
I feel like they all have their pluses and their minuses.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. But I think I'm more of a mesquite person than propane.
You can use, like, mesquite within, like, charcoal and charcoal.
Yeah. Propane. But I feel like charcoal, mesquite just gives that nice taste to it. I like the taste of mesquite.
No, it
like,
does have nice, like...
Like, that nice...
Like, kind of sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how that shit works, but I fucking love that shit.
I'm allergic to it, but I can't quit it.
Alrighty, let's get into the story. Chapter 1. Greg, Bird, Sherry, and Michael are bored and unsure of what to do today. In their boring small town of Pitt's Landing.
Huh, Pitt's Landing is the pits, am I right?
And Sam, don't be afraid to interrupt with your notes, your jokes, and your sound effects. Because I will be when you're reading these off. They have no money or players for enough players for a baseball game, so they decide to wander aimlessly until they come upon the deserted Kaufman House.
So some of the stuff I love in that is, like, some of the notes, they're like, we could go to the Dairy Freeze.
Yeah.
And apparently, I was gonna say, since Terry works there,
yeah,
right?
Terry works there.
And Greg is like, yeah, he'd give us a free cone with no ice cream. And I'm like, that is such an older brother move.
Right.
Like, to be like, here you go.
That's probably all you could give out for free.
Oh no, I don't blame him on that. It's just still like that feels like such a move. And then also like them playing like follow the leader as they walk around, like
yeah, doing like weird things of like, hey, let's just tiptoe around here and shit.
Yeah,
yeah, it's funny. It's cute. It's very kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, they come upon the abandoned Kaufman House. They decide to go inside the dilapidated building. Chapter 2. The kids are apprehensive at first, fearing that Spidey, the creepy old homeless man who sometimes squats at the Kaufman House, is there. Sherry doesn't care and unlocks the front door, and they all peruse around the house, finding nothing of interest except for rats and dust. My two favorite things. I like one of those. I don't like the other. Guess which one, constant listeners? It's dust. For what? You don't need to know. I'm very allergic to dust.
Yes, but rats are cool.
Oh, I love rats. Rats are great.
They're adorable.
Bird goes down into the basement by himself, and when the others are about to go down there looking for him, he calls for help, saying someone has gotten him. Chapter 3. Greg rushes downstairs like a good friend. He finds Bird sitting comfortably on a metal trash can, being like, you got goofed, bitch!
Try and catch me, bitch!
Yeah. The others soon realize it was a bad goof and then start exploring the basement. They think Spidey must live down there, because there's a lot of trash and clothes. Greg goes off on his own and finds a work table.
There's a pimp hat in there, by the way.
There is a pimp hat. When he messes with the vice, it reveals a hidden cabinet shelf, and inside is a camera. Also, little fun fact here. I put a little note here. I realized that they do the same thing in the Goosebumps game to reveal a hidden passage, if I'm not mistaken, of, like, moving a vice. Just add it to my growing list of random Goosebump book references in the Goosebumps game that I'll never make a sequel to because I can't stand that video's comment section. Literally, if you want to know how much I hate that video, just go to the comment section. There are so many comments of stuff I mentioned and just people being like, oh, what about this? Or blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it's not the ghost next door. The ghost next door was a girl. That's there's no other girls here. Shut the fuck up.
Well, actually.
I hate that video so fucking much.
It's like, it was a cool video when you did it. Like,
I mean, I love the video. I do actually love that video. I just hate that comment section so that's much. Fair.
Chapter 4. Greg is cautious at first about taking the camera, but takes it out anyways. Michael strikes a goofy pose atop a railing, and Greg wants to take a picture of the moment. Greg takes the photo, and a picture pops out of the bottom. Greg is surprised it's a camera that automatically develops the film, almost like a different type of camera that they're not going to mention.
Cha-ching!
But after the film comes out, Michael topples over and hurts his ankle really bad.
Owie, owie, owie!
The others are about to rush to get help, but they hear footsteps overhead. Someone else is in the house!
Oh, we can't have our little secret orgy!
This isn't it.
They have to find the meaning of friendship or whatever the fuck they fucked for.
That's so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah. But wait, they combine their essence. I don't remember the reasoning.
It's still weird.
It's gross. It's
weird.
I'm
gonna say it's weird and gross. Like, no.
It's very inappropriate, and Stephen King does not like that anymore.
Because there's a reason it got edited out of all the versions, all the, like, TV and movie adaptations.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to depict them going, entering adulthood.
Like, loss of childhood.
A loss of childhood, and also them being joined together as, like, a group. Fucking the same girl.
It also feels like it's a giant red flag of, like, the relationship with the girl's dad.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Poor Bev.
Yeah, Bev. Bev. Yeah, poor Bev. Yeah, that's all I need. Chapter 5.
That's it! I do have a giant copy of It on my shelf, so.
Yeah.
I love that copy. I found that at Savers, and it's my nostalgia copy. Because it's the one I remember from my childhood. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Chapter 5. Bird and Sherry help Michael up, and Greg leads the group to another staircase that leads to a pair of cellar doors. The footsteps grow louder, and they hear Spidey yelling at them. Greg rushes to the cellar doors, but they won't budge open! Chapter 6. Bird assists Greg with opening the hatch, and they successfully open it, and the gang rushes out and safely make their escape. They arrive at Michael's house, and Michael's ankle is feeling better. They decide to avoid the old Kaufman house and Spidey, for fear of retribution from the homeless man. Michael asks to see the photo that Greg took, but when he pulls it out to show everyone, something is terribly wrong!
Chapter 7. The photo shows Michael in mid-drop, but that can't be, as Greg took the picture before the incident. But before they can discuss it any further, Greg has to rush back to his Mojo Dojo Casa house. When he gets there, there's a mysterious car in the driveway. He realizes that his dad brought home a new car! Greg excitedly smells the new car interior and then decides...
Chemicals.
And then decides to take a quick snapshot to remember this day so he can jack off to it later.
He's that guy that wants to fuck a car.
Always. He then rushes into his Mojo Dojo Casa house to hide his new camera because he doesn't want to explain where he got it to his parents.
Which is fair.
Yeah, he stashes it inside a hidden compartment and then notices the picture he has taken of the new car and is shocked.
So I'm also wondering if it's actually as hidden as he thinks it is.
Right.
Like, I'm always like with kids and they're like, this is my secret spot. And the parents are like, I know where the fuck it is. Like, they're not going to, like, go into it because unless they have something they really think the kid needs to hide. like, let them have their secret kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't think it's that much. I like to think it's, like, the one that I had at one point where it was, like, fold down, but it's not really that secret. Like, yeah. It's right fucking there.
Chapter 8. The picture showed the Taurus totally totaled. Taurus totally totaled. I like
Taurus
that.
Taurus totally totaled.
That's some good alliteration, Chris. Greg is shocked but has to rush downstairs for dinner. When he gets there, everyone is sitting, and Dad announces after dinner they're going for a nice drive. Chapter 9. Greg tries to avoid taking a ride in the new family station wagon, but none of his excuses work, and the discussion ends with him reluctantly agreeing to take a drive.
So I was just looking at the Ford Taurus, because I'm like, I'm just curious, because they're like, what a sweet car!
Yeah.
It's actually not far from what they got in the TV show.
Yeah, it's really like, not too far off.
This is a 2019 model, obviously, because...
Yeah. Put it in a 1982 model.
1992? Maybe that's what they got, but I'm like, this is not a sweet, like, I'm not...
It's what Arl Stein bought with the money from this book.
Not far off.
Yeah, like, not too far off.
It might even be the same.
It is the most stereotypical sedan.
It also looks kind of like a Buick Century. Mm.
Like when you say sedan, that's what you think of.
Yeah, it's not a station wagon. I'm going to be that person.
Actually, isn't that a station wagon?
Chapter 10. They're on their drive and take the new car onto the freeway. They admire all the new amenities, like cup holders and shit.
Oh!
Dad gets distracted looking for the headlight switch and starts to swerve to the left. Greg screams to look out for that truck!
Dad!
Also, I'm like, it has really good tension in that.
Yeah, there is some good tension.
Because it's this whole thing of, like, he sees the photo and he's terrified and he tries to get out of going for that ride and Mom's like, no, you're getting in the fucking car.
You don't get in that car, bitch!
You know what would have been easy for him to get out?
Huh.
I feel like I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah, don't throw up in the new car.
Yeah, I'm like, you would not throw up in this car.
Yeah.
So, that was just my thought of, like, if you just said that, I feel like that would be, okay, never mind.
Fair enough.
Chapter 11. They narrowly avoid the truck and head back home. Greg decides to test the camera once more and takes a picture of Terry, because why not?
Yeah, take a picture of your brother.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. Greg is not an ally.
I mean, he's being an ally in this fact that he's treating him like any other brother.
Yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, fair.
When Terry poses, he sticks out his tongue and crosses his eyes in his room. The photo, on the other hand, shows a normal-looking Terry that has a concerned look on his face and for some reason is outside. Greg thinks the camera is broken, and we skip ahead to Tuesday afternoon at Bird's Little League game. Greg has brought the camera upon Sherry's request. She wants to take a picture of Bird at the plate.
Greg's swing, better, swing.
Greg's not sure if that's a good idea. And Sherry's about...
I don't know, Jay. I don't know, Tommy.
Like, it kind of gives that, but it's also Sherry just like... He's like, I'm terrified of something bad happening, and Sherry's like...
Do it.
Fucking do it. Do it.
I feel like Arl always makes these girl characters seem like way more adventurous, because like, that's how, in Monster Blood, that's how,
Andy is.
It's very much like, come on, let's do it.
Don't be a little bitch.
Don't be a bitch.
Come on, you little bitch. Bitch. Come on, little bitch boy. Come on.
You're far from Sherry.
No, that's what they do, though.
Like, I know, but you're not Sherry, so stop nudging me.
What you gonna do about it?
Keep reading.
She wants to take a picture of Bird at the plate. Greg isn't sure if they should use the camera, and when Sherry is about to take a picture of Bird, Greg tries to stop her, but the camera ends up going off. The picture it takes shows Bird unconscious on the ground with his tongue out and his neck in a most peculiar angle.
Dun 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 dun!
Did he break his fucking neck? Like, I was like, did he break his neck? Yeah.
Like a bird. Chapter 12.
Sherry is dumbfounded by the photo. The pair examine the camera as the baseball game commences. They can't find where you put in film or how much is even in the camera. Sherry attempts to open the camera to find out how it works, but is unable to. But when they finish fussing with the camera, they turn and see Bird sprawled out on his back with his eyes closed.
Like a bitch. Chapter 13. It's a goo!
Fucking Bird.
Bird was faking it. The game continues, and Bird's team is getting their asses handed to them. And the people in the bleachers are booing them. They're booing their own children.
For a fucking Little League game, too. Like, it's...
And I can't stop laughing at this idea. Like, legit. That shit made me fucking cackle. Bird gets up to bat after a while and hits a single. But when the next kid goes up to bat, he hits the ball hard and it slams right into Bird's head. The picture's premonition has come true. Chapter 14. As everyone is watching Bird, Greg's brother Terry appears, like in the photo from before. He's there to tell Greg because Dad has been in a terrible accident.
Oh no!
Three premonitions in a minute? That's a new record. As Greg and Terry rush home, Greg notices a figure behind the bleachers in all black watching them. chapter 15.
I like we both made the, like, masturbating noise.
Of course. They arrive at the hospital where Mr. Banks is. The new car has been totaled. Mr. Banks is okay with just a few broken bones. Greg wants to tell them about the photos, but thinks they won't believe him, which, fair.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. That's valid.
As they leave the hospital, Greg wonders if the camera can see into the future, or does it cause these mishaps?
Yeah, it was one of those, like, which one is it?
Yeah.
That is a good question.
That is a very good question.
Chapter 16. It's the following weekend, and it's Sherry's birthday. She wants Greg to bring the camera, but Greg is like, no way, that shit is cursed. But Sherry convinces him, and he grabs the camera and heads next door.
Okay, so the scene where Greg dreams about his family becoming skeletons is in this chapter, and was added after the book was finished. So once Jacobus had made the cover, Scholastic thought it didn't match the story. So Aurel quickly added a scene where Greg tells Sherry of a nightmare he had involving the nightmare barbecue so that the cover fit the book.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, Jacobus created Trans Terry.
Yep.
Yep.
True ally.
True ally. True ally Tim.
Chapter 17. Greg arrives at the party and the gang is all there with nine other kids, all girls. Sherry immediately wants her picture taken by Greg.
Hee hee, take my picture.
Greg is apprehensive at first, but does it anyways. Before the picture finishes developing, the party asks what they plan on doing, and the girls want to play truth or dare.
Truth or dare, truth or dare.
The pic develops, and Sherry is pissed. She's not in the photo. Greg says he lined her up perfectly. She demands he take another picture of her and gets closer this time. He does, and again, she doesn't appear. They both think the camera is broken, and she has the party play truth or dare in the woods outside her house for more privacy.
Hee hee, we're gonna fuck.
I was gonna say, somebody does see... The boys have to show their dicks. That's... and then they laugh at how weird they look, because...
look at Michael's. Fat and tiny.
He's actually hung. He's just that kid that...
What, you got the hots for Michael? You a Michael defender here?
No.
Burge is all skinny and weird.
Too much foreskin.
It looks like a pencil with too much foreskin.
God, why are we talking about this?
Talking about boy wieners. Sam, what is this, continue.
What is this, big mouth?
Oh, no.
Sorry, that just...
Just shut your mouth. You're the one who brought up wieners.
Yeah, I know.
I'm usually the one who brings them up. I'm surprised you did.
Sherry's mom eventually calls them in to cut the cake, and when they get back to the house, Sherry isn't with them. Bird goes back to the woods to look for her and can't find her. Sherry has simply vanished.
Dun dun dun.
I was half expecting her to be like, ha, fooled you.
It's a goof.
Because they do shit like that. Like,
yeah, but no.
No?
She's fucking missing.
The police have, in chapter 18, police have started to search for Sherry. Sadly, they're unable to find anything. That's a shitty birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, goddamn.
She's missing for fucking 2 days.
So a weird thing I noticed, though, is Dad's at a fucking golf game during the kid's birthday party. I'm like... He just would not fuck this kid.
White suburban family, I can see it.
Yeah. Greg is the only kid not to leave the party. An officer by the name of Riddick shows up and talks with Greg.
My name is Riddick.
Greg, against his better judgment, tells the officer about how we took the picture and how she didn't appear in them, and that this camera either predicts the future or causes bad things to happen.
Chapter 19 through 22, because these chapters really don't do too much. Riddick doesn't believe Greg, and Greg decides to go back to his Mojo Dojo Casa home.
Casa house.
Whatever. When he gets there, no one is in the Mojo Dojo Casa house, and his room has been ransacked. Greg knows who did it, and it had to be Spidey.
What I love is he broke into the house. He's homeless.
Yeah.
Doesn't steal anything, not even food.
I think he's trying to stay under the radar.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Like, but you're right, that's valid.
Like, he's only looking for the camera. He does not need to look for this other shit.
I'm just saying, if you're already in there, if you're already going to get arrested for breaking and entering.
Yeah. But Greg doesn't think to call over the police, who are right next door, and tell them what happened in his room. No, Greg has another plan. Greg calls Bird and tells him to get Michael and have them all meet up at the playground. They all get there, and Greg wants to take the camera back to the Kaufman house. But the others think he should just throw it away. Greg doesn't want to do that because Spidey knows where he lives and has been inside his fucking house.
Which is creepy. Like, I will say that is a very, like, creepy and violating thing of someone being in your room. Like, knowing they've been in your room.
Yep. You don't know. He probably rubbed his fucking ball sacks on his pillow.
Yeah.
Oh, what if he rubbed his dirty ass on that? Fucking pink eye central.
Like a dog.
Yeah.
He just scooted like a dog.
Greg's got fucking pink eye. Bird tries to take the camera away from Greg, but ends up accidentally taking Greg's picture. Chapter 23. But before Greg can worry about his picture, the gang is approached by two ninth grade bullies named Joey and Mickey. My god, ninth grade bullies. These fucking freshmen have nothing better to do but to pick on fucking sixth graders.
They're probably getting picked on by the upperclassmen. In a way to feel superior, they pick on the middle schoolers.
Fair enough, I could believe it. The pair take the camera from Greg, and when one is about to take a picture of the other, Greg pleads with them not to, since it doesn't work.
Should have just let it.
He doesn't want the secret to be known, though.
Okay, true.
They don't listen to Greg, and Greg takes action and snatches the camera back, and the trio run away as fast as they can. The two bullies don't pursue them, but when Greg says it's time to take the camera back to Spidey, his two friends say it's dinner time and they have to head home. Greg knows they're right and hopes they can get rid of the camera tomorrow. As he approaches his Mojo Dojo Casa house, he remembers a snapshot of himself. He pulls it out and is stunned. What could it be? What could it be?
What could it be now?
The picture has Sherry and Greg standing together as a foreboding shadow envelops them. Greg is freaked out but goes inside his Mojo Dojo Casa house when his mom calls for him. 2 days pass, and Greg still can't convince his friends to help him. In his frustration and missing of Sherry, he rips the photos he took of her and tries to forget about it all. 2 hours later, he gets a phone call. It's Sherry.
Chapter 25. Sherry tells him that she's been back for 2 hours now and still has no idea where she went. Greg wants to talk more, but the police are there to question her because there's been a missing child, which is fair.
Yeah.
But Greg realizes that ripping the photo solved his problem. He plans on talking with Sherry as soon as he can and return the cursed camera from whence it came. The next afternoon, he meets up with her at the playground and tells her what he wants to do. But before they can head back to Greg's house, Spidey's shadow slithers over them.
I'm a spider, but I'm a snake.
Spider. Chapter 26 through 28. The pair run away from the tarantula-like figure of Spidey. As they round a corner, a car stops them, and it's their neighbor, Jerry, who scares Spidey away.
Hey you! Hey you! Get the fuck out of here! I'll beat your fucking ass in!
And he just... The pair is thankful and decide once and for all that tomorrow they will return the camera. The next afternoon, Greg and Sherry arrive at the Kaufman house. They inspect the basement from the outside to make sure Spidey isn't home, and when they don't see him, they enter the front door, but are soon frightened when the door slams shut behind them. The pair quickly enter the basement, and Greg puts the camera where he found it originally. As they head back upstairs, Spidey enters the landing and blocks their exit. So my question is, why didn't they just, like, boot it into the house and be like, close enough, fuck it, bye.
Because they want to make sure it's back where he wants it, I guess.
I'm just saying.
But... I know, it makes more sense to just leave it in the house, but I think they want to make sure that Spidey is the only one who can find it.
True.
Is my guess.
That makes sense. That's fair.
Yeah.
Chapter 29. They plead for him to let them go, as they've put the camera back. He demands that they show them that their actions are true. They reopen the door, and Spidey demands they sit down as he tells them the story of the evil camera. His partner made the camera and cursed it using the dark arts. Sarcophilosoteticus. Spidey admits that many lives have been taken by this camera, one of them being his own.
Dun-dun-dun. In the sense that his life has been ruined.
Yeah, that he has, like, he's now a homeless guy. Squatting in an abandoned house.
Yeah, after he's done.
After he's done, Greg and Sherry try to leave, but Spidey doesn't let them. They know too much.
Chapter 30. They beg Spidey to let them go, but he just can't do that. When his hands are preoccupied, Sherry rushes him and grabs the camera. Both Greg and Sherry get up, and as Spidey approaches them, Sherry takes his picture and screams one last thing. Run.
Oh, there is a station wagon version.
Oh, there we go.
So I just wanted to look that up. I'm like, wait.
Okay, there is a station wagon.
It's not what's in the show, though.
Yeah, it is true. Chapter 31. They quickly run up the stairs as they hear Spidey animalistically scream in anguish. I thought it'd be more like...
Yeah, that could work. That's better. I just was like, yeah.
I'm a trained actor. Mm.
Look, I'm a trained musician.
I'm a trained douchizen. I play with pedals, so my bass sounds like hell.
I'm a trained phlebotomist. I just know how to poke people and get blood out.
I'm a trained dickener. I know everything about Emily Dickens.
Really?
Yes.
Like what?
Her birthday is November 25th.
25th or
28th?
24th. Yeah, I was gonna say. What year?
1811.
What song can you sing in time with most Emily Dickinson song? Or poems?
I was gonna say, hey, I was gonna call you out on that one. Mary had a little lamb, little nope. lamb, little...
There is one, though.
Star Spangled Banner.
That's not even the song.
That's Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, I know. You know what song it is?
What?
The Yellow Rose of Texas.
It's the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Because it's almost an iambic pentameter, so you can do it. Because
huh.
She uses iambic pentameter.
I know nothing about Emily Dickens.
I know basic poetry bullshit, because I was poetry club president in high school.
Poetry nerd. Why don't you go cry and read a poem?
Okay.
Here's a book. Hope you enjoy it. It's Oyster Boy. That's the biggest thing.
I was gonna say, that is the rudest thing you can do to me. We've read that shitty book.
That video... Okay, so like I've said in the past, I've uploaded these onto YouTube now. That video has 0% likes. And I think it's because of our hatred towards it. Because
it's just edgy bullshit, and I stand by that.
Yeah, I am with you on that one. Okay, the pair stop and notice the cries have stopped and that Spidey isn't chasing them. They peek back into the basement and see the fresh corpse of Spidey, who has died of fright. Yeah, unsure of what to do, the pair returns the camera into its hiding place and then return home and call the police. 2 days later, the four friends are discussing what happened. They told the police that they had entered the house to escape the rain and had found the body downstairs. The police say he died from heart failure. The four friends then leave as they pass the Kaufman house.
We murdered a man.
But yeah, and Joey and Mickey appear and admit they saw the whole thing and have taken the camera for themselves. So did they see how he died, too?
Yeah, they see a fucking corpse and they're just like, hey, camera's ours.
They're ninth graders. Of course they'll be like, cool, dead body. Let's touch it.
His dick looks weird.
His pee-pee look weird. Joey tells Mickey to say cheese as he takes his picture, and the pair await to see how the picture comes out. The end. Alright, Sam, do you have any other notes that you have written down?
Yes.
Take it away.
So, I already mentioned the pimp hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just that just really spoke to me. Of like, they're like, look at this hat! And I'm like...
Sam loves hats.
And then they're like, this has to be 25 years old for all the 70s stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like 50 years old now.
Yeah.
And then when they're like, should we call the police? Because when they get chased out by Spidey.
Yeah.
I'm like, let the squatter be.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, like, he, as far as we know in this, like, at this point.
Yeah, at that point, leave the man alone.
Yeah. He's just a homeless dude squatting in an empty house. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
So, one of the things during the Little League game
mm-hmm.
is they describe Bird as he's storking after the ball.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a really good visual of just, like, how he's awkwardly, like, walking.
He's such an awkward, tall boy.
He's that boy that's, like, 90% limb.
Yeah. Oh, our legs are long. Yes, they're very, very long.
And then there's just screaming and horrific. Same energy.
Yeah.
And then Sherry, hey, I know you're traumatized, but come on, bring the fucking camera.
Yeah, bring it, bitch.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Swear to God, Sam, I'm gonna beat your ass. You think I'm kidding? We're friends like in this book. I'm gonna beat you. Yeah, right? You just punch me back. Be a man. Be a woman. That's better. Yeah! She touched my penis. I win. She's mine now, boys. Greg and Sherry forever. Bird, you lose, bitch. She touched my wiener while smiling. When she touched yours, she was frowning. this is the stupidest thing I've said all day.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was...
Alrighty, so my notes are... Alright, Chris, drop some hip 1992 music for random pop culture references in no particular order. X-Force. Hungry Man Dinners. Popsicle, which is a brand. It is not, that's not what a frozen ice pop is called. A frozen ice pop is just an ice pop. Popsicle is a brand.
Hmm. Yeah. Kind of like Band-Aid where
and Jell-O.
Is...
Yeah.
Hmm. Because gelatin is like the generic, like you can, anyone can have gelatin.
Yes. Stetson, Taurus Station Wagon.
Again, we looked it up.
Yep. Yeah, I had to look up Popsicle because it was capitalized in the book. So I was all like, wait, hold up. And, like, I was like, oh, yeah, turns out it is. And that is all the random pop culture references from the 90s. Continuing forward with my notes, I like this friend group. They're kind of just assholes to each other. It's like real friends. In chapter 15, I like how RL uses the color of the world around Greg coming in like a photo being developed. It's a nice touch and shows off some clever writing.
Well, and also, like, when you're in that kind of trauma mindset.
Like, it feels like the world is just, like, developing in front of you.
Yeah, stuff's going around and you know there's stuff going on, but your brain's not registering details.
Like, bravo, Stein! There's some good writing in this one. After Sherry's disappearance in Chapter 17, Greg's description of the police officers of being pretty much faceless drones and how everything feels still is, yet again, some fine writing in this book. So, there we go. And my final note, you may have remembered a couple old times ago when I described, when characters are described having metal t-shirts, I will always write down what their t-shirts might be. So I have a giant list, because the two bullies, Joey and Mickey, are wearing heavy metal shirts. Since this book came out in November of 92, here's what they may be wearing. Chris, let's drop some heavy metal right here from one of these bands. I don't care which one. Just drop something. And Sam, stop me if you think they're wearing this one. Alice in Chains, Dirt. Biohazard, Urban Discipline. Black Sabbath, Dehumanizer.
I feel like Black Sabbath's always a safe bet.
That's it. The only reason someone would maybe wear this shirt is that the song Time Machine is in Wayne's World.
Hmm.
Not a great album, but the Time Machine's a fucking great song. It's Dio years for okay. Wentworth. But it's also a really badass album
but
cover.
It could also be
whereas like this Grim Reaper like electrocuting a dude.
So again, like a safe bet.
It's
like
pretty
a,
heavy metal.
Yeah, even if they're fake fans.
Yeah.
Just bought the shirt at Hot Topic.
Body Counts, self-titled album. Cannibal Corpse, Tomb of the Mutilated.
Cannibal Corpse is another one that I could see because they tend to have very brutal.
That is a very brutal one. That's the one where the nice skeleton fell on top of the other one and it's like, oh, I fell into your crotch, I'm sorry.
Well, this one.
Here we go.
They both have seemed to fall in. This is terrible. They both fell, they got blood on the sheet that they fell on. And there is a worrisome head off to the side.
I love that of him describing how he describes
it. Danhausen's. Chris, if you can find that video, post the clip right there. Danzig. Danzig 3, How the Gods Kill. I think there's titties on that cover. So
maybe.
Might,
yeah.
Deicide. Legion. Faith No More. Angel Dust. Probably not that one. That one just has a stork on it.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, Bird's wearing that shirt.
Bird.
Yeah, that's why he's called Bird, because he wears that shirt. That, I mean, that's a great album, by the way. I was about to say, I only listen to albums that I really like, because there's a lot of really good metal that I had to leave off. I mostly put stuff that I really like that is very known to people.
Yeah.
Nathan, I mean, everyone, you know who Deicide is. Gwar, America Must Be Destroyed, their second of the big albums they had. Iron Maiden, Fear of the Dark.
I feel like Iron Maiden's another one that's always kind of
safe.
That's
a really safe one. It's also really, I mean, almost all of Iron Maiden's album covers are fucking badass. There's only one really bad one, and just look up Dance of Death, I believe is what it's called. It's really fucking bad. Sam, you might want to look that up while,
Oh my god! That is...
Beautiful! It's beautiful, isn't
what
it?
What in the Oblivion mod is this?
Yeah, they are trying to do something different, because they no longer use their classic artist on that. It's clearly a 3D models.
Yeah.
There's a little person on top of a dog in there.
Beautiful.
Just standing on it, if I'm not mistaken.
Beautiful.
Where really about? Megadeth, Countdown to Extinction. Ministry, Psalm 69, The Way to Succeed and The Way to Suck Eggs. That's all one album, and that's a fucking good album right
Sorry,
there.
So just the name is great, though.
Oh, it's great. It's also a really good album.
Yeah.
Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power. There ain't you right, kids. They're wearing that shirt.
I mean, it could be.
Rage Against the Machine, self-titled album.
I feel like no, not because of anything against Rage Against the Machine, but they seem like the type to not...
They wouldn't misunderstand the lyrics, and then later on in the future...
Become cops, and then not understand that they are the machine to
exactly.
be raged against. Okay, no, I can see that. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
And last but not least, White Zombies, La Sexaristo.
That one could also be.
legit, there are some amazing albums from this year, and I could see them wearing almost any of these ones, except for maybe the Faith No More one, but I had to include that, because that is one of the best. I mean, I think all of Faith No More's albums are really freaking good, but that one's really fucking good. And those are all my notes. And Sam, it's time for a new segment. Guys, I decided this is a new segment. I'm introducing it to Sam right here, right now. This segment is called What Inspired the Stein? In this segment, we talk about what random things inspired this Goosebumps book we just read. So Sam, do you have any clue what may have inspired this one? Even though I'm dropping this right on you.
So, a few things. One, they even reference it, the whole like thing of how certain cultures believe that cameras steal your soul.
Yeah.
So that obviously can pull from that in a
definite
way.
Definite good pull on that.
My other thought, and I have no, I could be totally wrong, but like Picture of Dorian Gray, I don't know why.
Stein referencing something classical? No, he does. As long as
he's
it's
done
horror.
That before.
Yeah. And this is kind of, it is slightly,
it's kind
it's
of horror
adjacent.
Yeah.
It's horror adjacent. I don't think,
it's not like true horror. It's not like a Frankenstein.
Yeah. I don't think this one would definitely be that, but the one thing that for sure inspired this is a Twilight Zone episode called A Most Unusual Camera, which shares a very similar premise as this book. I was about to say, so, I think those are what inspired the Stein. The classic kind of folklore tale of, like, oh, picture steals soul. Scaring of the, you know, scaring the natives kind of people think.
Mm-hmm.
And then A Most Unusual Camera. Anything else that may have inspired it? I'm not sure. Folks at home, if you have any kind of theories that you may have of what may have inspired Say Cheese and Die, leave it down in the comment section, or even message us on Twitter, at @DBC_pod, or even the Our Blue Sky at Drunken Book Club. I'm kind of curious to see if you guys have anything, because that's clearly, honestly, I think those are kind of the two things that do it, but
yeah.
Who knows, maybe there's something random that you're just like, I'm an aficionado on this random Polaroid thing that actually predicted these things.
Yeah.
Weirdo. All right, time for random questions segments. Sam, I've only got three questions for you. Which of the four characters did you like the best of the main squad?
I also like Bird, because as much as he's an asshole, like, he's funny.
He is pretty damn funny, I'm not gonna lie. Bird is pretty damn likable.
Michael is kind of forgettable. Like,
I like Michael. Michael's my choice. I like him. Like, yeah, he's forgettable, but he's the chubby kid. He's the cool one. Girl, he bumps into a girl and she's like, "Who you?" And I'm like,
"Oh, you."
And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Michael, baby."
Yeah, I was gonna say, "It's because you are Michael."
Yeah, I'm cool.
But
and Sam's in the guy's name Bird. I don't have bird-like features. I do not look like a dodo, Sam. Stop looking at me with hungry eyes. Dodos were actually not that tasty.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's good to know, but
fun fact, I read it in a book. 8 Birds That Changed the World. Check it out. It's actually a really cool book.
But yeah, I stand by Bird, though, because he's funny.
Yeah. I can see that, though. But no, I honestly do like Michael and Greg, honestly.
Yeah, Greg's decent. Like, he's a decent protagonist.
Yeah. Sherry's, unfortunately, kind of forgettable in the, she's literally, I hate to say it, she gets fridged. She gets put in the fridge, and it's kind of bad. Kind of lame.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's not really that good of a character, so I think we're okay with it.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Alrighty. Have you ever used a Polaroid camera?
I actually have a Polaroid.
Yep, you have one of the modern ones.
Yes.
Yeah. I have used a classic one that, what's called? Okay, so the Sorry, I just think it's funny. The one that I've had since I was a kid, since I was a teenager, was from, what's it called? Their old retired equipment from the medical examiner's office.
Beautiful.
From, like, the crime scene unit people. Because they were like, oh, we're throwing these away because we're going all digital now. And my mom's like, hey, don't throw that away. I can give that to my kids. Which, hey, we used it for a bit, so hey.
You had a camera that took photos of a corpse.
And more than likely, yes.
Hey, you had a Say Cheese and Die camera almost.
I did not take a picture of my nephew, and he did not appear dead. Thank you very much.
I'm just more saying it's seen a lot of dead bodies.
It's seen a lot of dead bodies, and also those Polaroid, like, what's it called? The film in those, if you wait too long to use those, they really look, like, they take really bad pictures when they expire.
Good to know.
Yeah, fun fact. I don't know about modern ones, but I know with the old school ones.
Well, I know they're, like, put in, like, a specific wrapper thing, and it's one of those don't pull it out of the wrapper until you're ready to use it kind of thing.
Fair enough. And also, you don't shake it. Don't shake it.
You don't shake it.
Don't shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah, no, that lied to us.
Bad outcast. Bad. Shame on you.
I mean...
Shame on you. Next question. Would you ever use this camera? Maybe on your enemies or something?
No. Because I feel like it's unpredictable in how it's bad.
I would be more than willing... In my current state, I'm okay of taking pictures of certain people. I will not say whom, but I'm okay with taking... I'm having my school shooter moment, apparently.
Jesus Christ, Chris.
I'm gonna take your picture. Don't come to school tomorrow. You're cool.
There are some certain political figures that if I had the camera and I was in...
God, yes.
Like, I'm not gonna name names because I just don't want to be on a wanted list kind of thing, on a no-fly list kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Gotta say, if you know, you know.
Yeah, if
if you know me, you could probably take a guess on some of them.
Chairman Mao.
He's already dead.
Meow, 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 meow.
I can't.
Meow,
I don't think I can really do anything worse to him.
Yeah. It brings him back to life. Oh my god, the terror.
What has happened to China now compared to his vision?
And those are my random questions. Sam, do you have any?
I don't have any.
Fair enough. Alrighty, so let's skip into our pairing section. In this section, we pair the story we just read with stuff that we think that would go well with it. Sam, do you have anything?
Sorry, my idiot brain just came up with this.
Go right ahead, idiot brain.
The Nickelback song Photograph.
I fucking hate that song. I fucking hate Nickelback so goddamn much.
I just think of that meme of the...
Look at this photograph! Oh, it's a graph.
Look at this graph.
Look at this graph!
That's it.
Ugh. Alright, do you have any others?
So, weirdly, the thing that kept popping up in my head, and it's not even a great direct thing, but it is similar,
mm-hmm.
is the Ned Zone from Treehouse of Horror 15. Oh,
you know what? The Dead Zone in general could have been an inspiration for this, because the Dead Zone, what's it called? The character touches somebody, sees what happens to them in the future, and can see, like, things that they've done. So it kind of has that similar premise as well.
Yeah.
So I could see it working as a pairing and also being an inspiration.
Yeah. And I was also thinking of, like, the comedic aspect of it and some of the stuff of how it doesn't necessarily play out how he intends.
Yeah.
And trying to stop it and it's still happening.
Yeah. The Ned Zone's a funny one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Also, I just really like the Dead Zone movie. That's a really fucking good one. The ice is going to break! Classic moment. My pairings, I'm not going to include the things that inspired it, because I feel like I can't really just say a most peculiar camera. I'm going to get the easy one out of the way. The Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, The Tale of the Curious Camera, which, okay, funnily enough, the guy who plays Spidey in the TV show episode appears in this episode as a fucking character. He plays the guy who gives the camera to the kid and whose life gets better. Like, fucking weird. Like, I mean, I know there's a lot of, like, crossover with Are You Afraid of the Dark and Goosebumps with characters. I mean, hell, Ryan Gosling, who also appears in the episode, also appeared in Are You Afraid of the Dark in different episodes. Or different episode. But yeah, like, there's a bunch of different, like, people like that. Like there's a lot of crossover stuff. But, like, I did not expect the two episodes that had cameras in them to have the same actor in them. Like, that just feels really weird. Like, a weird coincidence, I guess. Yeah. If any, I don't know if they both have, actually, you know what? Okay, I think I know why. They do share the same director, Ron Oliver.
Okay.
So, fun fact on that one. Okay, before Spongy can get in there and be like, actually, Ron Oliver directed them. So, I could see, okay, I understand now why. So, that just makes sense.
Okay.
But, Sam, go ahead and say your pairing.
So, I have two more games if you want to go back and forth, or if you just want me to say.
Back and forth, because I have one more.
Okay. So, Toem, which is a black and white game. It's not in the same vibe of horror.
Yeah.
But it does have a lot of take photo. It's a photography game.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, sometimes you'll have to take photos to have things happen.
Okay.
And it's just a fun game, and I like to recommend it, because it's not a super big, like, developer, so.
Yeah. Fun little game. If you want a so bad it's good kind of movie with similar premise, try out the movie Polaroid. A movie that was pushed back so much, and I can't remember when it actually came out. Because apparently, it only came out, like, on demand, as far as I know, because it was the last thing the Weinstein Company came out with.
Oh, goddamn.
So that might be the reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is fucking bad. I've only ever watched clips of it, but all the clips have been so bad. I mean, I think you can watch it on Amazon if you're really curious, but...
Pokemon Snap is the other
that
one.
That is a loose pairing. Get the fuck out.
Okay, bye.
Shh.
But no, I was going to say, we'll stand by Toem, though, because...
Yeah, Toem, I feel like that's a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like, what's another one that could actually be a good pairing with it? The first, oh my god, Life is Strange game, because you do actually, you're part of a photography club kind of thing in class, and do take pictures, and have to, like, sometimes you have to actually reverse things to change things up, and change the past and the present. So, kind of in the similar vein like that.
Yeah. I just haven't played it, so I didn't want to speak on that, because...
Good game. I like it. I like the second one a little bit more, but people don't. But whatever. You know, brotherly love. All right, Sam, what's your book report on this one? What did you think of Say Cheese and Die?
I think this is a pretty strong one. It has some good prose.
Yeah.
It's got, like, some really good building tension moments. And for the most part, a lot of things tie together pretty nicely. There's not a lot of, like, random loose ends or dead ends. So I would say overall it's a strong book. It's strong goosebumps.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 4... poorly rendered CGI camera, CGI skulls out of 5.
Ooh. Sorry, I just noticed something with my copy. Okay, you see the Scholastic logo down here?
And then,
yeah, it goes like all the way around the other side for like the Scholastic. That's weird. I wonder if that's like a first printing. Oh, thank you, Erica P, for giving us your copy.
Didn't we get it at like Bookman's?
I don't think it was Bookman's.
No, it wasn't, because it would have been right here. Yeah, like
I have
dollar.
No clue where I got this one from. I want to say it was maybe Savers or something. I don't know. Maybe it could have been maybe thrift.com or not thrift books, maybe, because those ones don't leave like residue and shit.
Yeah.
All right. My book report. This one is a surprising trip. It's been ages since I've read it, and I've forgotten how good it is. The four friends are jerks to one another, and I love them for it. There's also some pretty decent prose seasoned throughout this one. I do find the ending with the bullies and their inclusion in general to be kind of pointless and bland. But it leaves the reader wanting more evil camera action at the end of the day. Overall, I give Say Cheese and Die a solid 4.5 out of 5. It's a solid bump and leaves me wanting more.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, that's our book report. Sam, I'm pretty happy with this one being our first one. Do you know what our next Goosebump book will be?
Didn't you say it was Egg Monsters from Mars?
It is Egg Monsters from Mars. We're skipping ahead. I know I said we'd be doing these ones in order, but I will be skipping ahead to random points for pretty much just holidays. And if anyone decides that we should be doing this one for their birthday or something as a birthday prize. Surprise. Because Easter's just around the corner. That book takes place around Easter. So I was like, fuck it. Let's do that one.
Yep.
So there we go. So be ready for some Egg Monsters from Mars. We'll have a short story in the middle there, which you'll be hearing next week. I think you'll be enjoying that one. I love how everyone enjoyed it, but once I gave my book report, they were like, you hated it?
Well, again, to be fair, you gave like a 1-page review versus like a 9-page story.
Yeah.
So it does change.
Yeah.
The vibe.
It does. So there we go. That's the episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to like, subscribe, leave a review, rate and review us wherever you can. 5 stars means a lot on Spotify and on iTunes. It helps people see this is a decent podcast and they would be like, I'd listen to this. Thanks, guys. and hey, if you can leave a comment like on SoundCloud, leave a comment. It also helps me be like, hey, I actually do like responding to comments on there as well when I see them.
And that's not just a one-word thing.
Yeah. Oh, we don't need to get into that. That was something different.
Okay.
Though I did post one that Spongy left a review on one of the more recent ones and said, trash lol JK. And I did publish that one because it made me laugh. So hopefully people will see that and be like, huh, that's funny. This guy gets it. Thank you, Spongy. But if you really like our content, join us on patreon.com/drunkenbookclub. And on there, we release these episodes early. I release my show notes, so you'll be able to see them with every episode that has show notes. You also get bonus things like a bonus episode every week. You'll get exclusivity in our Discord. Ooh, we don't really use our Discord that much, I'll be honest. It's there, though. And, of course, we also have my weekly pairings lineup that I post every Friday to Saturday, depending if I remember to post it, where I post a kind of a lineup of TV shows that pair with this book in a very specific way. So if you're interested in seeing 4 episodes based around cameras or taking pictures, I've got four episodes of a TV show, four different TV shows for you to watch on easily to find streamable services.
Woo!
I try to make it as easy as possible to find. So there we go. And follow us on Twitter on, if you're part of our Patreon for $1 a month, you also get a shout out. Shout out to Trey. What up, dog?
Woo!
Love you. And follow us at @DBC_pod on Twitter. And follow us at Drunken Book Club on Blue Sky. And also the YouTubes and stuff. Sam?
You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Berserker Rose.
And you can also find our buddies, Brandon at Eldritch Maid on Twitter and Blue Sky. Weiss on Instagram and YouTube as Force Left Hander. And you can also find Noelia at Fiverr and VGen? VGen, yeah, it's VGen as May Myriad. Check it out. I was about to say, she does some pretty awesome art. She did our art for the Disney movie Muses. So if you're like, that's some pretty cool art, maybe check definitely her check her out. Maybe get some, send her some money. Be like, yo, that's cool. Can you help me with my PNG tube? Why not? That's everything. Guys, have a good one. We'll see you next week with a short story. Bye-bye.
Bye. In a frame, under glass, we'll always be together in soul love, but photographs can lie.